Let's read verses 20 through 30 of Matthew 11. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty work done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, please be with us now as we respond to your scripture, as we focus on it. We pray that you would please help us all, our Lord, in the areas of our unrest to come to Christ, where rest is truly found. We pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The three passages of scripture that we read all have one thing that kind of draws them together with one another. That is the invitation that we have through Christ to come and to find our souls resting in him, to come as a people who are invited to receive from Jesus and to grow in him, to know him, to be united to him, to have all things in him. And that's what I want us to get. That's what I want us to understand from our brief look here at these handful of verses at the end of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Here Jesus calls us all to himself to give us rest, to guide our feet also along the path of life through the eternal joys at his right hand. Consider this, these verses here, and note that they're first an invitation to all who lack rest. That is, to all who need the very rest that only God himself can give. Well, who does that involve? Well, first of all, it involves to all who have sinned. The context here, Jesus is pronouncing woes upon whole cities. Now, if the Son of God is pronouncing woe, he's not just making a sort of just flowery statement. It's not a statement without significance. It is serious. Here is the Son of God, the owner, the ruler, the sovereign Lord, pronouncing judgment upon those who have turned their back on him. But yet, in the context of that pronouncement of judgment, he still issues forth an invitation and says, come to me. Because Jesus invites those who are restless in their sin to come and find rest in him. It's kind of like the whole nature of sin is restlessness. Or at least the product, you could say, of sin is restlessness. I mean, ever since Genesis 3, the whole world has been embroiled in a lack of rest. There's constant turmoil. There's constant stress. There's constant war and famine. There's constant corruption. And this is not just something you see on a global scale. It's something you see on the very scale of your own existence and your own heart as well. We need rest. So sin is restless. Now, the Bible is very down to earth. The Bible does recognize that a season of sin can bring joy. There could be the fleeting, passing pleasures of sin, as described in Hebrews 11 with Moses. He decided to forego that for something better, that is for the Lord. Because though sin might be pleasurable for a season, what it yields ultimately and eternally is the greatest restlessness of the very woe and judgment of God. So here, to those who have sinned against him, to those who have turned their back on him, Jesus still issues forth this invitation to come to me. So that involves all of us, all of you and me who have sinned against the Lord. Here is an invitation to come and find our rest in Jesus Christ. That sin might be seen in our life, be on display in our life in self-righteousness. It is a constant drive to do enough to overturn our, do enough good to overturn our bad. This is the whole program of the Pharisees, and it's something that is also in each of our hearts. That's what makes us often so weary and heavy laden. It's a burden that none of us can bear, for who of us could ever earn and gain salvation by our own good works? If we think we can do that, and I think that we struggle with this more than we realize, then it is an unending cycle of shame, of guilt, of sorrow, of never truly knowing how much we need to do, or does our scale actually now tip in the favor of good rather than evil? And so we're left wondering, have we done enough? Well, to those who are weak and weary and heavy laden from trying to follow some program of salvation, Christ says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It'll be a gift. This invitation is to, in a very real sense, all the world. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ is the one who is the Savior of, as we read in 1 Timothy, of all people. Now, it doesn't mean that every single person is saved. It doesn't even mean that every single person is called in an internal way. Even in this passage before us, or in the verses 27, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So there's our doctrine of election. There's our doctrine of God's sovereignty, which we love, we hold dear, but yet right after that is a call that is goes out to all, come to me. It's all who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus doesn't just say, come to me, you who are elected. Come to me, you who are special and reserved for God. Now that's true in God's eternal decree, that internally God issues a call, but this is a general call. This is an external call. It's an invitation for sinners to come to Christ. This is why we think on this text today, because I mean, it's clear that there's a lot of turmoil, not only in our nation, but in the world. There's all sorts of disunity. There's all sorts of corruption. Everything's a mess. And you don't have to be pessimistic to realize that. And ultimately, there is an answer. There is a resolution to that mess. And it's only Christ. You know, we can have all sorts of answers to the world's turmoil around us, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, that are good answers that should be pursued. But always underneath the umbrella of this greatest answer to our unrest, and it is Christ and his salvation. So this is an invitation to all who lack rest. It's an invitation to you, it's an invitation to me, and it's a good invitation. It's good in the sense that Jesus can make do on what he promises. It's like if you ever got an invitation to a birthday party. Imagine going to the party and there's no cake, there's no food, there's nothing there. It's just come and sit, do nothing. It's a useless invitation. It's not a good invitation to receive, but Jesus' invitation is good because he promises to give rest, and he actually can give rest. He's the only one who's able because he's earned the right to give it. He himself has worked hard. He obeyed all of God's law perfectly, fulfilling that standard of righteousness in order to earn eternal rest. And he did that, not for his own sake, he already had it, but for yours and for mine. And then he can give that which he has received and which he has earned. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will say to his disciples as he sends them to the end of the world, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How did Jesus gain that authority over heaven and earth? Well, he didn't gain it by falling at the feet of Satan as he was tempted in Matthew 4. He didn't gain it by just naturally having it. He worked hard for it. He obtained it by his own literal sweat and blood. He obtained it not just for his sake, but for yours. So he can truly make good on his promise to give rest because he is the Son of God. He has come, he's lived, and he's died. He shed his blood. He gave his life, not only to pay the penalty of our sins, but also to be the one who is victorious over our enemy, the devil, and the one who can show us eternal life because he himself has received it in his resurrection. He is a good inviter, you could say. And this invitation is also to learn. It's not only an invitation to all, it's an invitation that's good, it's an invitation to come and be directed. You know, Jesus just doesn't save us, gather us to himself, and then leave us to our own devices. He teaches us. He instructs us. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't just gather us in a pen and leave us there without teaching us what it is to live in a world that has green pastures and valleys of shadow of death and then death itself. Jesus actually directs us and guides us. That's why he says in this invitation, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is? It's like that piece of wood that's put on a group of oxen to lead them in the direction of the one steering them. It's not really an image that strikes us well today, but it's an accurate image. It shows our servant nature. As we belong to the Lord, we are His servants. He guides and He directs us. And He's not some wicked taskmaster with a whip, like, you know, a farmer driving his oxen to their death. He's one who is gentle and lowly. And His yoke is not heavy. It's not a burden. For those who have a changed heart, it is very life itself. Jesus' instruction, Jesus' teaching. This is His teaching as found in the Gospels. Things such as love your neighbor as yourself. And things such as the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Really, you could summarize this teaching as everything found in the Sermon on the Mount and then elsewhere. It's not only His teaching, though, but it's also His example. And to a true believer, one of the best things, one of the sources of our rest, is to see our Savior and to walk in His steps. This rest is also a learning. You know, whenever you truly want something, you truly are passionate about something, what you do? It drives your learning. You read about it. You listen to podcasts about it. You seek out information on it. That's the same. And that's not a burden to you, by the way. That's a joy for the life. The same is true with the Lord Himself, who invites us to Him. One of the greatest things we learn through our Lord Jesus Christ is how to worship, how and why to serve, how to be God's people. This is what He calls us to. It's why we're called to like things such as prayer, such as singing, such as fasting, such as gathering as His people. This is us. We are doing what He calls us to do. We are learning from Him, being directed along the path of life to the pleasure of His right hand as we follow His word. He's a good shepherd who makes good on His promise to provide us rest, but He's also one who guides, guards, and keeps us and leads us as His oftentimes weak and poor and wandering sheep. So as you hear these words, reflect on them today. Really all that we've done this morning, especially in the readings of Scripture, is to give you sustenance to think on today as you observe the day of prayer and fasting. To think on Revelation 22, and even the call that ends the very Bible itself, that says to let the one who is thirsty come and drink the water of life without price. A call that's in return as a prayer to Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us yourself. Come in fullness. As you reflect on Matthew 11 and this invitation of the Lord to you, do so with faith, with hope, with love for Christ. As you read in Isaiah 55 of the Lord who promises to give us good. And His word, which we give our attention to daily, will not return void. When we hear Him say things like, you know, I will cause the myrtle to spring up and things like that, which might seem a bit odd. Remember, that's a reversal of everything that's gone wrong since Genesis 3, when thorns and thistles and briars mark our life. Here He promises, through His invitation, I will bring a reversal and an overturning of that and give you good, and give you life, and give you glory, the very glory you squandered in your own sin. So reflect on these things today. Find your heart resting in Christ and learning from Him. May He work this in us all. Let's pray.